Lake Effect continues on 89.7 WUWM, Milwaukee's NPR. I'm Mitch Tite.
And I'm Bonnie North. We hear Jenny Benjamin from time to time on the show. The Bayview writer is a regular poetry contributor to Lake Effect, and we also spoke with her a few years ago when her novel, This Most Amazing, transported readers between 21st century Milwaukee and 18th century Italy. But her latest published works take readers into her heart and mind.
We did say works. Jenny Benjamin has two poetry chapbooks that are recently out, More Than a Box of Crayons and Midway. She'll read from both of them on Friday at Boswell Book Company, but she joins us first. Welcome back to the show.
Oh, it's great to be here. Thank you for having me.
There is a part of a poem that you actually read on this show about a year ago, actually, called Dappled Things. I will confess I still get verses and stanzas mixed up, but
no
I'll call
problem.
It a part.
Sure.
And you write and read, "This song cannot be missed. The dog mom has spent her life in search of purity. That's why she writes poetry." How long had you been writing poetry before you were able to put words to why you write poetry?
What a wonderful question. I think probably 20 years. I think that's the first time in a poem. It's interesting you pulled that out, that I actually put words to it. So it touches me that came through to you. But yeah, 20 years or more, closer to 25, I think.
Do you remember when you first sat down and said, I'm going to write a poem?
I do. I was in high school, and I was taking a class, an English honors class, and we read, I think, Emily Dickinson, and I'm going to write a poem like her, and I wrote one. Well, it wasn't exactly like Emily Dickinson, but it was a poem.
So over those 20, 25 years, was there a point at which it becomes part of who you are, part of how you process things?
Definitely. I can't imagine now. Well, I wonder, did I always have the mind of a poet as a small child, the way I would play and think? But very much how I'm looking at the world, how it comes to me, I can't help but think of, or it turns into a line or an image. So yes, it's a way of looking at the world.
As I was getting ready for this interview, I was thinking about the last time that I wrote a poem, and that may well have been when I was in high school. and I think about, honestly, the idea of it as processing, you know, the way you see the world or the way you see your life. And I think I have different ways of doing it. And how, I guess for me, and this is obviously not an interview about me, but how unnatural it would be to sit there and try to write a poem. For you, as you say, you can't think of not doing it. Mm-hmm. And so when you sit down and you put pen to paper or fingers to keyboard or however you write a poem, how is it that you go about deciding what form this poem is going to take?
That's a great question.
It's a very long question. I apologize.
And it might be a couple parts to it. I think that sometimes a poem sits there and bothers me for a long time. And it may be I have an idea, or it's that image or a line I'm trying to work toward. And I can't just sit down and write that poem. It needs to marinate, so to speak. And then all of a sudden, it just kind of comes. And I don't mean to sound like, oh, writing poetry is just the muse. It's not at all. It's work. Other times, this is where I like to write in forms very, not all the time, but often, because the form will dictate things for me. And it's almost, I get a little program. Here's my, you know, I need to repeat this line here. I need to rhyme with that line. So then it's a wonderful match between content and form that comes together that I don't always predict. But sometimes I'm very thoughtful. It's like, I want to write a sonnet right now, and I'm just going to start writing it and see where it goes.
Do you have a ratio of poems you start to poems you finish?
Oh, that's a really good question.
I mean, do you have notebooks of partly finished poems out there?
I do. And I could look. For a while I was saving them, and I think I have some of them like from years back somewhere. I thought, I don't know, is anyone, my kids might want to see them someday. But the ratio is very hard to determine. And sometimes one poem will be started, and I think it's one thing, and then it becomes something else. That's why I like to keep the notebooks, because you can always, there's perhaps a line or an image that can, I'm going to use that later.
Does the actual physical writing of the poem matter? Do you have to hand write them, or are there times when you just happen to be by your computer and you'll open a new document and start writing?
I do sometimes. I will sometimes compose right onto the computer, and I like that too. And that's that idea, just like writing in form, where there is some object in reality that interferes with the process that creates something unexpected. And that's what I love about it. That's so fun. But most often I do just, it's a pencil and whatever notebook is special to me at the time.
Does the meaning of the poem sometimes not reveal itself to you until you're partway through it?
Yes. And I would say that happens 20% of the time when I write.
Is it your own version of a snapshot? I mean, do you think of it in terms of, this could be a picture of this part of my psyche?
Yes, sometimes. And sometimes it's not about me at all. And I think that that's what can be tricky about poetry and even fiction. When I've written fiction, when there's a character that maybe seems like me and people, oh, I know Jenny now, or will say things to me as if, oh, that was you. And well, no, I made that up. And so that can be a little tricky. But very often, I think that that's why poetry, when you do get rejected for it, or when it doesn't hit someone like you want it to, it is more personal than other things, because so often it is that snapshot of something I've experienced or someone very dear to me has experienced or the world is experiencing. So I want others to share that. And then if it doesn't ring true, it's sometimes hurtful. But at this stage in the game, sometimes you get a thicker skin, too.
Well, a novel, for as much as it might have autobiographical elements to it, there is a certain arm's length. It's maybe easier for people to wrap their heads around the idea that, even though I know Jenny's written this, it is fiction, where you don't necessarily think of poetry as fiction or nonfiction. You think of it as feeling.
Exactly. And so when that feeling is expressed, that is me. And so you are right in that. So even if it's maybe masked, one of the lovely women in my writing group, and actually a few of them have said this, you'll often write your poems in third person, the she. And I think that that's a way that I kind of distance myself from that persona, that speaker in the poem.
We should hear, you actually have two chapbooks that are out,
yes.
Sort of one very quickly after another,
yes.
Which is, first of all, must be exciting as
it
a poet,
is.
Since they don't happen every day.
They don't happen every day at all. And this is just so strange that it is happening, because I think I've been submitting manuscripts in different forms for close to 25 years. And so when the first one happened, it's like, whoa, this is awesome. It's a smaller one. Chapbooks are shorter than regular volumes. That's fine. I submit both to different presses and stuff. And then when I got second place in the No Chair Press contest, and this is a manuscript that is written in form, I just couldn't believe it. So it was really exciting.
Well, do you want to share a couple of poems
sure,
with us?
Sure. I would love to. I'll start with the title of the second. So this is the No Chair Press book that's coming out in April. And I'll go with the title poem of that chapbook, which is called Midway. And this is a sonnet. Midway. Dun ground, an olive-colored sort of kind of day. Beneath the robin's peck for wormy, rooty things, winter has buried its frozen, blasting ways. Stomp the mud, shake the rugs, it's spring. Now I feel the hot blush of beginning love in each blade of grass, the dazzle of sunlight. Here come the paired-up morning doves, picking the brambles back to life. A twiggy haze, outlining weft of dead limbs. The children resurrect and turn to magic wands. Dirt diggers, walking sticks, or other playful whims. Above, the sun and mist wash the clouds to blonde. Halfway through a life, in my own dark wood, breathe, I say, keep my pace, and walk along the good.
Jenny Benjamin with Midway. And first of all, a wonderful poem.
Thank you.
Do you write poetry with your voice in your head, given that poetry is so often read aloud?
I think I do. I definitely. I can hear it. I always wish actually to have others read my poems so I could have other voices, but you don't really get those opportunities for that to happen. So it is. It's very much my own voice.
I mean, I've asked this question to songwriters before because partly, a songwriter writes a song to be sung out loud. And at the same time, there's this idea that other people are singing along in their heads, they're reading the lyrics, and they're singing in their own voice. And so when someone is reading your poem, they're reading it with both your words and their own voice in their head.
Oh, I love that question. And that's exactly why I love it. That's why I love writing poetry, is that very reason, is this connection with people. Well, I'll never know. And that's okay. But just this idea that it's going out, a ripple into the world, that through their voice and my voice is coming together. And then it's something new. It's a new piece of art in itself with that connection.
Having written a novel, do you feel like you connect with people differently when you write a poem versus what you heard from them when they read your novel?
Yes. It's very different. And what I do find, I'm getting better at writing both simultaneously, like have a manuscript going, a novel, and writing poems. But when I first wrote the draft of that, I didn't write any poetry. I could not do it. And then it was even after that, when I was interacting with people who had read it, I wasn't writing much poetry at all. It was something about I had to turn that side of my brain off, or a thinking pattern like you were talking about, in order to go bridge into fiction, which I wasn't. It was a first time thing.
So you are you simultaneously writing poetry and fiction at this point?
I am, and I think it just comes from anything you practice and anything you're doing a lot of. You get better in the sense of you can juggle different genres. You can just change your mind and tack and stuff like that. So I am. That's a little difference.
When do you write? You have kids.
Yes.
You work.
I didn't mean it to say it like that. I love my children. That's terrible.
Yes.
I love them. They're lovely daughters.
There is an acknowledgement in one of these two books that references them sleeping.
Yes. Isn't that lovely when they sleep? I get up ridiculously early. And people who know me, they just don't understand it. But my best time to write is very early morning. 4 a.m. would be my perfect. Sometimes I've been known to get up at 3. I love it. It's before any of the world has come in and I've had to actually verbalize anything except maybe to my dog. You want to go outside, that kind of thing. And nothing's tainted anything. And I just can be the most productive.
I'd never stopped to think about it, but there is something to be said for getting your thoughts together before rush hour has had a chance to wreck them.
Exactly. And I know everybody's different. I know maybe some people would like to – they're the late night. I cannot put a sentence together to save my life at night, even after sometimes pathetically like supper's done and with my girls and clean up. I really could go to bed very early. I try not to. Because then it just – you get into the pattern and you're just not really in the world enough. That's the battle with it. But I could never be the person who would be really productive at 10 p.m. or midnight. Not going to happen.
When you look at the poems in the two chapbooks that are out, obviously some of them are written in series form. There's, I think, green things and
yes,
yellow things and purple things. And so they are in the order that they are in because they are in the order that they are in. But what about is there an art to deciding what goes first?
Yes. And that, I think, really matters sometimes. And that's perhaps, well, so much of it is timing. But how I've been trying to crack the nut for 20-some years is just different combinations of poems and deciding what would work. Yeah, what's the first thing that I want presented here? And I did a lot of thinking, especially – well, Midway was kind of a gimme, because I knew that was going to be the title of the manuscript at the time. But with More Than a Box of Crayons, I played around a lot with how to order those. And It took me some time to really think about what I was trying to project, what themes, what am I trying, message am I sending?
Do you submit them in the, or I mean, you're not just having to grab the reader, you're having to grab the people to whom you submit the poems.
Yes. And that's, I think, who I'm thinking of first, because I want it to get published. And without it getting published, I won't have readers. So after that, I think readers are accepting, I think, for the most part. They're not going to say, well, why did she put this poem here? I don't think they're going to care too much, you know.
Well, but of course, once a reader has the book, they might read it in the way that someone listens to an album on shuffle mode, you know, pick it up and look at page 36 first.
Exactly. And that's their, and that's, again, that connection between the, it's a new art. It's its own. They can do that. And I think that's a wonderful thing.
Well, they're all wonderful things. Jenny Benjamin, let me just say thank you so much and congratulations.
Thank you. It's lovely to be here, Mitch.
Milwaukee novelist and poet Jenny Benjamin's latest books are both collections of poems. They're called Midway and More Than a Box of Crayons. She'll read from them Friday night at Boswell Book Company, and you can hear more of Jenny's poems on her Lake Effect contributor page at wuwm.com.